Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
So when I first became a Christian, I was told that God had a purpose and a plan for me. And I'm sure that was the case for many of you as well. And as soon as I heard that God had a purpose and a plan for me, I want to know what it was. Like, I wanted to be helpful, right? Like, if God is my creator and he knows what I was made for and what I'm supposed to do, then I wanted to know what it was because I wanted to be on board with that. I wanted to be a part of whatever he wanted me to do. And so I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I asked for God, God, tell me what my purpose is. Tell me what my plan is. And, you know, I just kept thinking that one of these days, when I get done praying, I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to be in a really big room. There's going to be lots of candles and torches that would shoot up flames. And there'd be a little choir of angels over here singing my favorite worship songs. And then here I would be, and God would say, let me tell you what I want you to do. And then life would be perfect. That never actually happened, though. At no point did I say amen and had this amazing vision and this amazing voice of God tell me what he wanted me to do. But I so badly wanted to know what my purpose was and what I wanted to do. Has anyone else been there? Anyone else just desperately just want to know what God wants you to do? Yeah. I mean, I think it's built into us. Like, we love God and he loves us. And if he has a plan for us, then tell us and let us know. We hope that someday we're going to go into prayer and God's going to give us just the full download of everything he wants us to do, the whole deal, beginning and end, from now until the day I die, I'm going to know everything he wants me to do. And you know what? Sometimes we see that. Like, every once in a while, we see that in the Bible. So Noah, you know what? God comes to Noah and says, hey, it's going to rain a lot, and I want to give you my new book, How to Build a Really Big Boat. Here you go. Go build a boat. Or how about Mary? You know, Mary has this experience with an angel where she's told the Holy Spirit's going to come on her and she's going to conceive and it'll be the Messiah. And she even gets to ask, like, clarifying questions and the angel gets to answer her. Like, we read experiences like that and say, okay, I want that. I want an angel to show up and tell me what my purpose is. I want the voice of God to enter my life and say, this is what I want you to do. But actually, when we look at Scripture, when we look at the Bible as a whole, sure, there are a handful of those moments, but those moments don't happen very often. And when you talk to people of faith who have followed Jesus for years and years and years, who have a good sense of what their purpose is and what they're meant to do, they didn't get the full download one day in prayer. So last week, Pastor Tim was saying, often, not always. And we're thinking about, will God just tell me what the whole plan is? It's not often, not always. It's rarely, kind of, never. I mean, that's more like a rarely, kind of, never. We rarely, kind of, never get that full picture of what God wants us to do. Yet we know he has purposes and plans for us, and he knows he loves us, so we just kind of wrestle with it a little bit and say, so God, why would you leave me in the dark? If you love me and you know what I'm meant to do, don't leave me hanging here. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. He doesn't actually leave us in the dark. See, quite the contrary. See, I believe that regularly, daily even, God is trying to tell us exactly what he wants us to do. It just might not come in the ways we expect it to. See, this is when the Holy Spirit comes in. This is when we have to understand how the Spirit speaks to us and how the Spirit leads us. Because we're expecting one thing, and I think God is constantly talking to us. The Holy Spirit is constantly giving us leading and direction and guidance. We just have to have the right notions, the right conceptions of what to hear. So we're going to look at a story in Acts that kind of paints that picture. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 8, or you can grab one in the pew in front of you. Feel free to use the table of contents if you need to. Acts chapter 8. This is a pretty, I want to say a pretty fun story. and a pretty good example of how maybe the Spirit most often offers us direction and guidance. So Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be over in verse 26. Here we go. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. The end, God will send an angel to tell you." Let's pray. Okay, like that's one of those wow moments, right? Like that's the exception. So the story of Philip here starts with one of those, whoa, an angel came and told him what to do. So I gotta say, you know, it's rarely kind of never, but we shouldn't eliminate the possibility that God might actually send a messenger to talk to you. God might stir up in you dreams and visions of where you're going and what you're supposed to do. Like those aren't out of the realm of possibility. If we were to sit here and say, you know, that's never going to happen, don't worry about it, don't think about it, that'd be putting God in a real tight box. And we don't want to do that. And we could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, when an angel comes to you, what you should look for and expect, and it would be enthralling, and you all be on the edge of your seat. But it wouldn't be very helpful, because that's still not the most common way that the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us. And you know, it wasn't the only way that the Holy Spirit led Philip. So let's keep looking after this crazy angel conversation. Verse 27. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stand by it." Okay. Go stand by a chariot. No more angel voices. No other details. It's just, hey, why don't you go stand over there? So sometimes when we read things like that, we think, well, okay, when it says the Spirit said to Philip or the Spirit led Philip, what it really means is he was heading that direction already and stopped to tie his shoe by it. Or Philip was walking over there and saw a really pretty rock on the ground, so he stood there for a while to look at it. Don't do that. Like, don't do that. Don't think that. Like, this is more than happy coincidence. I want to say, so does the Spirit work through coincidence sometimes? Sure. But we can actually expect more from God than just speaking and leading us through happy coincidences. This is much more. This is the Spirit telling Philip, go stand over there. He's actually speaking to him. But okay, so that raises the next question. Like, if you're going to say, okay, the Spirit told me to go stand over there, like, what did that actually sound like? You know, did Philip hear a voice in his head that said, Philip, go stand by the chariot? Okay, maybe. You know, that's one of those don't put God in a box things. Like, Philip may have heard the Spirit say to him, go stand over there. But I still want to say that's not the most common way we receive leading from the Spirit. So, you know, some people talk about the Spirit's leading as a feeling. Like, I had a feeling that the Spirit was leading me there. And that's not a bad way to think about it. It's not a bad way to talk about it. But I want to say it's a little more concrete than a feeling. I want you to think about the Spirit's leading. Maybe the best word I could think of was, think of it as a notion. That's the first blank on your insert. As a notion. This is like an urge. This is a compulsion. Maybe it's even like a burning in your guts. Like you just know, I should do this. I should do this. And it's just there. You know, elsewhere in Acts, when the apostles are talking about making a decision, they say, it seemed good to us in the Spirit. It might come as an understanding. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's just what the Spirit wants us to do. It's not necessarily a voice. It's not a sign planted in the ground. It's more like a notion. It's a compulsion. And of course, then you understand, right? Like, it's pretty easy to overlook the Spirit's leading if that's the case. Like, we can dismiss a notion, an urge, a compulsion pretty easily. And Philip could have too, right? Like, he could have thought, well, that's kind of invading that Ethiopian space if I go stand over there by his chariot, isn't it? That's a little weird. I think I'll just stay here. Or, you know, maybe Philip doesn't like horses. And he's like, I am not standing by that chariot next to that horse. Who knows what it'll do? You know, like, that all sounds silly, but that's what we do ourselves, I think, when many times we get these promptings, these notions, these urges, these compulsions from the Spirit. We find all sorts of little ways to dismiss it and set it aside and say, no, maybe not. I don't know what that's about. They just come up so quickly. Like, we don't even really think about it. I think oftentimes when the Spirit plants these notions in us, gives us leading in this way, we don't even take time to think about it before we've already brushed it off to the side. I think we need to slow down our thinking a little bit so we're not so quickly to dismiss. And fortunately, Philip didn't dismiss. So let's keep on trucking. We're in verse 30 now. So the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand by it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. Okay, a little aggressive, Philip. Like, you probably didn't need to run. But he does. Philip ran up to that chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Like, how amazing is that, right? So go stand by that chariot. Philip feels this urge, this compulsion, has this notion to go stand by this chariot. And what's he reading? He's reading the prophet Isaiah. And when Philip sits down with them, he discovers that he's not just reading the prophet Isaiah. He's reading a very particular passage that is a prophecy about Jesus. Philip says, do you understand this? He says, how can I? I need someone to explain it to me. And Philip's like, I'm your guy. I'm here to explain it to you. Let me tell you about Jesus. And so this man, this Ethiopian, he comes to faith, and he gets baptized. Isn't that an amazing story? Like, that's such a crazy story. You hear, like, special speakers from out of town come and tell these crazy stories about stuff like this. And we hear those, like, man, I wish that would happen for me. I wish I would have a story like that. I wish I could come up and tell you the story about when I just went over and, oh, turns out this guy was ready for the picking to be saved, and I was in the right place at the right time. I wish the Spirit led me that way. You know what? I think he does. I think the Spirit is leading us that way. It has to do with our understanding of the Spirit. We think and we expect that the Spirit's going to say, hey, go get that eunuch saved. But that's not the way the Spirit talks. The Spirit's leading doesn't sound like, go get that eunuch saved. The Spirit's leading sounds like, go stand by that chariot. And then we just need to be obedient. See, the Spirit's leading, it's a step-by-step process. Like, we don't get the whole plan all at once. We get the first step. And you know what? Honestly, that's a pretty good idea. Like, God was really thinking when he decided to only give us a step-by-step process. Because if I knew the whole picture, and God said, well, first you're going to go stand by the chariot, then you're going to listen, then you're going to talk, then you're going to do this, then you're going to do that, I'd probably think I knew a better way to do it. And I would be wrong about that. I'd be very wrong about that. I'd foul the whole thing up. The Ethiopian would leave cursing God or something because I thought I knew a better way to do it. It's not how the Spirit talks. It's a step-by-step process. Following the Spirit's direction, it's all about doing the next obedient thing. The next obedient thing. The emphasis there is on the word obedient. Just do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, even if it's just, hey, go stand over there. It might seem pointless. It might seem unnecessary. It might seem out of the ordinary. But you've got to get yourself into the mindset to listen for those little promptings. And even if it seems unnecessary, it just might be step one to where the Spirit is leading you and taking you. And then you've got to be obedient to the follow-through. You see, Philip could have been obedient to the letter, right? Okay, stand by the chariot. Huh, that guy's reading the prophet Isaiah. I wasn't told to do anything else. See you later. And he leaves. That could have been it. And I think a lot of times we do that too, where when we finally hit the moment of truth, we get a little scared. See, the Spirit will position us. Like, if we're following the Spirit step by step, the Spirit will put us in a position to be obedient. And then it's up to us just to do the follow-through. Like, it was so obvious to Philip. Here he was. He's a man of God. He loves God. He's serving God. He wants to influence people for Jesus, as I hope all of us do. And so here he is. Go stand there. This guy's wondering who the prophet's talking about. I know who he's talking about, and it's Jesus. I just need to say it. We have to be obedient to take those steps, and then when we find ourselves in the right position, we got to be obedient in the follow-through, because sometimes it just seems natural once we get there. So that does lead us to a couple questions, right? Like, how do I actually hear the Spirit? So how do I put myself into that position where Philip was hearing, go stand over there? But then also, how do I know? It's one of the scariest things. How do I actually know it's the Spirit and not just me? Well, let's talk about how you hear. So your first blank under how do I hear is you must invest in the relationship. You must invest in the relationship. We receive the Holy Spirit's direction when we're investing in our relationship with God. We need to make time and space and silence in our life so that we have some kind of regular time where we pray, we read Scripture, and we listen. We need to make that space because that's where we hear the Spirit's promptings. Can I just say that if you haven't figured out a way to do that regularly, whether it's 7 days a week or five or even three, if you haven't figured that out, then you can't waste any more time not getting it figured out. You have got to get this figured out. This is the most important step to you growing spiritually. If you feel stuck, if you feel like you don't know what God wants you to do, and you have not found a regular time to pray, read Scripture, and listen, then you need to start there. There is nowhere else for you to start but there. Get that figured out. It's so important. It's so important. When we're taking that particular time to pray and read Scripture and listen, but we actually discover that the Spirit can direct us in all sorts of ways. Like, so maybe we're praying and a name just comes to our mind. Like, we've talked about that before. Maybe someone, a neighbor comes into your mind that you just lift up in prayer in that moment. And maybe there's a conversation that happens later that day, or maybe it's a family member you haven't checked in with and talked to in a long time. So maybe the Spirit's leading you by bringing a name to mind that you need to follow up through. Or maybe a Scripture passage comes to mind, a verse that you had read some time ago and you're praying about something, and bam, there's this verse that you read 3 months ago and it addresses where you're at now. That's another way the Spirit leads. Or maybe just a burden. What really bothers you? I want to say, makes you upset about the world? And if that's coming up a lot when you're praying, if you find yourself going before God in prayer and you just get frustrated with something that's going on in the world, I'm saying that might be a burden from God that says you should do something about this. You should get involved and make something happen. Find some people that are doing something about it and get in. That might just be the Spirit's prompting. But when you create that space and time, and you get to come to know those promptings and come to hear the Spirit's voice, then all of a sudden, when you're on the go, you begin to notice the Spirit speaking to you, like, all day. Even when you're not taking time to prayer. Like, so in this passage, we get no point that Philip went south and then bowed on his knees and prayed and heard, go stand by that chariot. Philip was just hanging out, as far as we know. And he heard the Spirit lead him, go stand by that chariot. When we come to understand the Spirit's promptings in our quiet time, in our devotional time, in our listening time, in our prayer time, in our Scripture time, whatever you want to call it, when we come to understand the Spirit's leading there, then we hear the Spirit's leading on the go. And we can respond, I want to say, in real time. The Spirit's always leading us, always leading us. We've just got to come to hear and understand His voice. So, like, for some of you, the barrier for finding that time every day is time. Like, you can't figure out how it would fit in your schedule. You don't know how that would work. You know what? What if... So let me ask you this. Do you think God knows what you're going to face next week? I think he probably does. I think God knows the good things, the bad things, and everything in between that's going to come your way next week. Do you think the Spirit might like to give you some direction to help you be ready for it? I think he would. And so if God knows and the Spirit would like to direct you, and all you've got to do is be in a position to listen, then this isn't about taking time. This is about being ready and saving time. Like, maybe when the mess comes, you're ready for it rather than your life falling apart when you get that news or when something bad happens in your day. We just got to be ready to listen, and we just got to be ready to hear. All right, so your next one is act on the promptings. Act on the promptings. You know, when you feel the Spirit directing you, you've got to act on it. So remember, this is a step-by-step process. Like, if you want to get to step two, you don't get to step two unless you're obedient to step one. You've just got to do it, even if it seems unnecessary. You know, if you're wrong, like if you follow the Spirit's leading to do something and you're wrong, okay, so what do you got to lose? Like, if Philip was wrong, then he just hung out by a chariot for a little while. And then he went about his business. I think too much, we get caught up in, well, what happens next? Like, we do that a lot, even when we're asked questions. Like, hey, can you do me a favor? Could you do this? Like, our next question always, so then what? Like, what do I do after I do that? And we do that with God. So, hey, go stand by that chariot. Okay, then what? And then what? And then what? And if we don't feel good about the then what's, we don't ever do the original what. We do that a lot with God. We don't act on those promptings because we get stuck. I'm telling you, just do it. Just jump in. Just see what happens. Respond to those promptings. Now, I know, so some of you are wondering, like, okay, what if the Spirit wants me to do something really, really big and life-changing? Like, what if there's something that... like, Spirit wants me to move. Spirit wants me to get a different job. Spirit wants something big to change in my life, and I feel that leading, and I'm just not sure. Okay, that's a good question. So how do we know when it's the Spirit talking to us? Because it's really easy to get my own notions and urges and desires and compulsions all mixed up with the Spirit's. Even if I know better, I like to trick myself into thinking they're the same sometimes. And so there's some safeguards that can actually help us to know the difference. So, you know, sometimes when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you've probably caught this through this series, like, again, we can't put God in some kind of box and say, you know, he always operates this way and only ever this way. It's hard to speak definitively about some things because God is very varied in his ways. But this is one of the times when we can speak definitively. How do you know? The Spirit will never lead you to do something contrary to Scripture. Never, ever, ever, ever. If you think the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, but you aren't sure, then you know what? Just check it by the Bible. It helps us get our own thoughts untangled from maybe how the Spirit might be leading us. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you to be dishonest. Never. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to be deceptive. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to be unkind to someone else. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to be unfaithful. The Holy Spirit is only going to lead you to do things that agree with Scripture. It's one of the reasons why we need to know what this says. The more we know what this says, the more we can sort out our own feelings and thoughts and compulsions from what the Spirit might be leading us. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something that doesn't agree with Scripture. All right, next one. Run it by some spiritually mature friends. Some spiritually mature friends. One of our greatest assets that we grossly underutilize is other people. We try to do things on our own, figure it out for myself, and we feel good when we do, don't we? Like, when we figure out something for myself, like, I didn't need anyone. I got this figured out. See how smart I am? Okay, we don't need to do that here. Like, there's no shame in asking for someone else's help to sort things out. Like, you just got to find someone who loves you and loves Jesus. And then ask them to help you. You know, just be honest with them. Tell them. Tell them what you think the Spirit is saying. And then tell them why you're worried it isn't the Spirit. And then if they're spiritually mature, they'll just walk you through it. They'll ask you questions. And as long as you're open and honest, I think you'll have a better idea. It doesn't mean you'll get out of that conversation and go, wow, I feel completely without fear and completely good about what the Spirit's asking me to do. It doesn't mean that. It just means you'll have a better handle on whether or not it's the Spirit leading you. Living a Spirit-filled life doesn't mean you don't need anyone else. We desperately need our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the next one, how did it go? How did it go? The Spirit, if you're willing to jump in, then the next question with how you know is just how did it go? The Spirit isn't going to lead you to do busy work. It isn't like, boy, I've got nothing for David to do today. So David, I want you to go stand by that chariot and hopefully you can clean up after the horse when it's done. Like, the Spirit's never going to lead you just to do work, just to get random things done. That's not how the Spirit works. Like, if Philip had gone to stand by over by that chariot and the guy had gotten up and walked away, okay, you know what? Maybe this wasn't the Spirit leading me. I felt like the Spirit was leading me. I obeyed, and the guy was like, who's this guy? And got up and left. Okay, maybe that wasn't the Spirit. But Philip didn't lose anything by doing it. And now he has a better idea of how the Spirit speaks and how the Spirit doesn't speak. You know, journaling is a really big deal. Like, if you can get in the habit of writing things down, like important spiritual moments in your life, and say, I felt like today the Spirit's leading me to do this, and then write down how it went, that can be really important to helping you just process in a tangible way to understand how the Spirit might be leading you. So listen, like I get this. To some of you, this sounds really mystical and weird. Like, it sounds like some kind of magic thing you would see in a movie. And you know what? Kind of is. Like, there's a lot about Christianity that is rational and concrete and firm, and we can lay hands on and say, this is it. But we also can't ignore that this isn't a natural matter that we're a part of. This is a supernatural thing. And so if it's a supernatural thing, then supernatural things might start happening. And they start happening mostly in really simple ways, like go stand by that chariot. You know, if you're feeling like this is a little out of your depth, like, oh, I don't know if I want that much Christianity, it should feel a little out of your depth. It should feel a little stretching. It should feel a little bit challenging. If you're going to follow the Spirit's leading, then you're going to need to do some things that might make you a little uneasy, make you a little uncomfortable. You know, if you're one of those people who is like, oof, I don't know, this feels a little weird, you need to let go of that a little bit. If you're one of those people who's like, this wasn't weird enough, you might need to hold in a little bit. Just being honest here. Like, you might need some more safeguards there for sorting yourself out. But I think most of us are in that, I don't know what's going to happen. We just got to come to be okay with it. When you follow the Spirit step by step leading, eventually you come to get some answers. Those questions from the beginning. What's my purpose? What do you want me to do? Why can't you lay it all out for me? When you follow step by step, at some point you'll discover, this is my purpose. I'm here. I didn't know how I got here. I didn't know God was bringing me here, but this is what He made me for. This is his plan. This is his purpose for me. And maybe it all started out by you being obedient to go stand over there. We just got to be okay with not knowing everything in between. See, to follow the Spirit's lead is to accept the unknown. To follow the Spirit's lead is to accept the unknown. And I want to say to accept it and be okay with it. It's okay if you take a step and you trip a little bit. Give it a try. See how the Spirit prompts you and leads you.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.